This is Movies for the Blind, episode 286, Rescue from Gilligan's Island, part 1 of 3.
You can depend on me.
Welcome to Movies for the Blind, where you can enjoy films without looking at a screen. I'm Valerie Hunter. We are back with a TV movie that's a sequel to a series that only ran in the U.S. from 1964 to 1967, when it was pretty popular. But Gilligan's Island was nowhere near as popular as it became a decade later in syndication, where it would run on weekday afternoons after kids like me got home from school. It became such a phenomenon, people clamored for a reunion and a sequel, especially since the story of various people shipwrecked on an island never really got resolved. Now, when the sequel happened, the characters and the story were so ingrained in people's heads, there wasn't much reason to review and catch people up on them. And granted, the theme song helps take care of how everything started. But since we've actually gotten to a point in history where you might not have heard of Gilligan's Island, or you forgot, here's what this movie assumes that you know. Now, Gilligan of the island was the first mate of the ship that got wrecked on the island. His boss is the skipper. The millionaire in the theme song is Thurston Howell III with his wife, Lovey. The movie star is Ginger Grant, a redhead often in a form-fitting evening gown or less. The professor is the professor, who was able to come up with all sorts of machinery and whatnot from just stuff found on the island. And Marianne is a Kansas farm girl, usually in brown pigtails. Okay, so those are your players. I'll let the theme song tell you the rest. From 1978, in three parts, this is Rescue from Gilligan's Island.
Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
The Minnow.
The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a three-hour tour, a three-hour tour.
Lightning flashes.
The weather started getting rough, the tiny ship was tossed. If not for the courage of the fearless crew, the Minnow would be lost.
The boat's wheel spins out of control.
The ship's aground on the shore of this uncharted desert isle, with Gilligan,
starring Bob Denver,
the skipper too,
Alan Hale,
the millionaire,
Jim Backus,
and his wife,
Natalie Schaefer,
the movie star,
Judith Baldwin,
the professor,
Russell Johnson,
Marianne,
Don Wells,
here on Gilligan's
Island. Rescue from Gilligan's Island. At night, all is calm around the lagoon of the island. Executive producer, Sherwood Schwartz. Director of photography, Robert Primes. Created by Sherwood Schwartz. Written by Sherwood Schwartz, Elroy Schwartz, Al Schwartz, David Harmon. Directed by Leslie H. Martinson. In one of the castaways' huts, Skinny Gilligan sleeps in his upper bunk hammock. While in the lower bunk hammock,
Gilligan,
the stocky skipper, doesn't sleep.
Gilligan!
The skipper glares up at him.
Gilligan!
He shoves and jostles him. Gilligan turns onto his side, his arm and floppy hat covering his face. The skipper stares up at his face, now sticking through the hammock netting. He gently pokes Gilligan's stomach.
Gilligan.
He tries to settle to sleep, but Gilligan's snoring face hangs over him. The skipper adjusts his black captain's cap and reaches up to Gilligan's nose and chin, carefully closing his mouth. He pulls his hand away. The skipper shoves again.
Gilligan, look!
Who wakes?
What's the matter?
I can't fall asleep with all that snoring going on.
I don't hear anything.
Gilligan, I want you to go back to sleep. And I want you to sleep without snoring. That is an order.
Aye, aye, sir.
He falls back asleep. Smirking and shaking his head, the skipper starts to relax.
Help! 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 Listen,
the island's sinking! The island's sinking!
They both fall out of their hammocks.
Help, help, help.
The skipper gets up and helps Gilligan up.
Wake up, Gilligan, wake up!
He just told me to go to sleep.
Gilligan, you were having another one of your nightmares.
Oh, yeah, and it was awful. The island broke off and started to float away, and then it started to melt. And
melt?
Yeah, I'm scared, Skipper.
Marianne and Ginger hurry in.
Gilligan, your scream scared us half to death, and you ruined my dream. Paul Newman was chasing me. You could have waited till he caught me.
Well, Gilligan was having another one of his nightmares. And you see, he dreamed that the island was going down into the sea.
Well, let me tell them, huh?
Well, but I'm the skipper.
But it's my nightmare.
Tell us what happened.
It was awful. You see, the island broke off. And then it was just coming...
The howls come in.
Such blood-curdling screams. It made poor little Teddy's fur stand on end.
His teddy bear.
Gilligan was having another one of his nightmares.
Oh, how inconsiderate. Must he have nightmares at night when everyone's asleep?
From now on, Gilligan, have a daymare.
The professor enters.
Have another nightmare, Gilligan?
No, thanks. I just had one. And it was awful. You see what happened? The island broke loose and started floating away with all of us on it. And all the dirt changed the mud, and we started sliding, and the sharks came. And all the people started falling off one by one.
Women and children first, I trust.
Scary.
Now, please. It was just a dream. We've been on this island for 15 years, and we're perfectly safe. I can assure you that Gilligan's dream has no significance whatsoever.
Meanwhile, in a country far away... Men and women in white coats work behind desks laden with computers. A satellite glides through outer space. At one of the desks, a worker adjusts and taps a monitor, then types on the keyboard. The satellite wobbles. Waves spin and turn on the monitor the worker taps again, fiddling with dials. He makes a call. Station 3, emergency. An older man in a white coat walks quickly around the desks to the worker, who tells him, CT is malfunctioning. We must control it, he replies, then hurries to a bank of computers as tall as he is, where he adjusts switches. He looks back. Is it corrected? The satellite keeps wobbling through space. The wave patterns keep changing. The older man hurries back to the worker and says, we must destroy it. The information on that disk must not be found. I understand, says the worker. A spy satellite violates all treaties. Destroy it. The worker's hand hovers over a button, then presses it. In outer space, the satellite keeps wobbling, then explodes. Later, the metal disk, shaped like a hockey puck, plummets through the atmosphere. During the day, in the island lagoon, it falls into the water, then rests on the shallow bottom. Soon after, Gilligan walks along the beach in his blue jeans and red shirt. He stops and looks down, then picks up a big shell, which he holds to his ear, listening. He looks down and spots the disc, silver and shining in the shallow water. He bends down and picks up the disc. Dropping the shell, he holds the disc to his ear, but hears nothing. Still, he smiles. Later, the professor has fit the disc into one of his contraptions.
Gilligan, this metal disc you found is marvelous. Made of some strange alloy I've never seen before.
The disc turns with an arrow.
Turn this instrument into a real honest-to-goodness barometer.
Oh, no, you're not sticking anything in my mouth or any place else.
Barometer, Gilligan, not thermometer. Anyway, we can finally predict the weather again, and thanks to this disc, with remarkable accuracy.
That's good news. I'm going to tell the others.
Now, hold on, Gilligan. According to this instrument, there's a raging storm approaching the island.
That's bad.
But it won't get here for a couple of days.
That's good.
Now, the gyrations of this needle indicate that the storm will cause a gigantic tidal wave that'll completely wash over the island.
That's bad.
However, that wave will be so strong that it could force a boat into the shipping lane so we can finally be rescued.
That's good.
Only we don't have a boat.
That's bad. Or is that good? I lost track.
I'm afraid it's bad, Gilligan. However, there's one good part. None of the others know about this.
There's one bad part.
What's that?
I do.
Gilligan, I am relying on you to keep this between us while I try to determine a solution. There's no reason for the others to be upset. Now, mum's the word.
But, Professor, I...
No buts, Gilligan. Mum's the word. Now, what's the word?
Mum.
Mum.
Later, on the beach, Gilligan meets the skipper kneeling with a shellfish trap.
Hi there, Gilligan. Give me a hand with this trap, will you?
Mum.
Mum what?
Mum's the word.
About what?
If I told you, it wouldn't be mum.
Who told you to keep it mum?
The professor.
The professor?
He stands.
The professor told you to keep something mum. It must be serious. Is it serious?
Mum.
Very serious?
Mum, mum.
Very, very serious?
Mum, mum, mum.
Are our lives at stake?
Mum, 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 mum.
Gosh, I gotta find out about this.
He runs off.
I didn't tell you anything. I kept it mum.
As Gilligan paces, the howls hurry toward him.
Gilligan! Gilligan, what is going on? The captain rushed past us and he seemed terribly, terribly upset.
We tried to talk to him, but he ignored us. Imagine ignoring the passengers, and he's only the crew.
Well, if you know something, tell us. Say something.
Mum.
I'm not your mum, Gilligan.
Well, I'm not your dad either. But speak up, my boy.
I can't. The professor made me promise to keep it mum. Now, you don't want me to break the promise to the professor, do you?
To put it in words of one syllable, yas.
Well, I always say, if a secret's not worth sharing, it's not worth keeping. I don't quite know what that means, but I always say it.
I'm sorry, Mr. and Mrs. Howell. My lips are sealed.
Sealed lips are a child's game. Hey, now, this cash, that's a man's game.
Just tell us one thing, Gilligan. Is it good news or bad news?
Both.
Well, tell us the good news. Bad news is for peasants.
Well, it's kind of mixed up good news and bad news. We might be rescued, but there's a...
Rescued! Rescued! Did you hear that, Lovey?
Oh, a rescue! Oh, dear, what does one wear to a rescue?
They walk away.
Perhaps something pale blue. Yes. If it's a gray ship, that should go nicely. Of course, darling, I must wear an evening dress.
Well, to help us get rescued, I'd wear an evening gown myself. Strapless, you know what I mean? But how can that boy confuse a rescue with bad news? Rescue and bad news.
You know, he's always been bad news.
They pass by Ginger.
Rescue? Bad news?
Turning toward Gilligan, she approaches him.
Gilligan, do you know what's going on?
Mum's the word.
Gilligan, I just saw the Howells, and they were talking about what to wear to a rescue, and something about bad news. Do you know anything about it?
He looks at her, then stares ahead.
You do know something about it. You'd really like to tell Ginger all about it, wouldn't you?
She runs a finger over his face.
No, you would. Because you always like to tell Ginger your secrets. Now be a good boy. Tell me all about it.
My lips are sealed.
He pinches his lips.
Sealing your lips is a child's game.
That's what Mr. Howell said, too.
He pinches them shut again. But she pulls his fingers away.
Unsealing them is a woman's game.
She kisses him. Then he pulls away.
I like your game a lot better than Mr. Howell's.
Now, Gilligan, what is it that you were going to tell me?
Mum's the word.
What does that mean?
Mum means mum.
Thinking, she turns his face to hers again, and they kiss passionately. He gets an arm around her, but breaks away again. Marianne arrives.
Hi, what's going on? I overheard Mr. and Mrs. Howell talking about a rescue and bad news, and Gilligan knows something and he won't tell me.
Rescue? Bad news? Oh, Gilligan, you've got to tell us what you know.
I can't. I promise not to say anything, and for once in my life, I'm not going to.
Oh, you don't have to. People who make promises should keep them. You don't have to tell us a thing.
Well, thanks, Marianne.
You'll never get another piece of my coconut cream pie.
Mum?
Or my banana cream pie?
Oh, Mum.
Or my pineapple cream pie?
Oh, Mum.
With the professor.
Gilligan said that our lives are at stake.
Well, I missed the opening of the New York Stock Exchange.
Will it be afternoon or evening? It does make a difference, you know, in what one wears. Yes. I'd rather land in L.A. It's closer to Hollywood.
Gilligan said there was bad news, too.
The professor beckons Gilligan, who's been hiding behind palm leaves. He walks over to the others.
Mum, Gilligan? Why are our lives at stake? Why
can't you tell us? All right.
I will tell you what I know.
All right. As you are aware, the radio and all the rest of my instruments haven't worked for over 10 years. But 2 days ago, Gilligan found this strange metal disc, and due to its incredible conductivity, I was able to fix the barometer. There's a major storm heading for the island.
Oh, we've weathered a lot of storms, Professor.
Ah, but this storm's magnitude has created a tsunami.
Tsunami? Oh, no, a tsunami! What's a tsunami?
Gilligan, that's an islander word for a tremendous tidal wave.
A wave that will cover the island and sweep us all into the sea.
That's what I call a real permanent wave.
Marianne winces.
You mean we'll all die?
The upper class, too?
Actually, this tidal wave may be our way off the island and back to civilization. I haven't worked out the details, but...
I have only one thing to say, Professor. Work out the details.
What is your idea, Professor?
To lash all our huts together.
You mean tie them together with the ropes we made of hemp?
Exactly. That way we can ride out the storm no matter how severe it is. I got the idea from the South American Indians who invented the outrigger canoe.
He picks up small logs.
The heavy surf would always upset their canoes, but they found that by lashing three canoes together, they'd stay afloat.
That's a great idea, Professor. It's just a question of having enough bottom.
If that's the question, Skipper, you sure got the answer.
You mean, Professor, that you can make a seaworthy craft by lashing our huts together?
Right.
Well, congratulations. You invented a huts boat. A huts boat. I just coined a word.
Thurston, coins are beneath you.
Oh, it's just an expression, my dear.
How much time have we got, Professor?
3, maybe 4 days at the most.
What can we do to help?
Well, we need provisions. We need more hemp for ropes. But most important, we have to find a way to move the huts together and tie them.
Thurston, let them take care of the trivia. We must pack our clothes.
And our money.
The Howells walk away.
Well.
Later in one of the huts, the professor maneuvers a long pole.
What seems to be the problem, Professor?
Well, it's not fitting for some reason. Skipper, give me a boost. I can get it.
All right, little buddy. Put your right foot right in my hand and away!
Gilligan's head and arm poke through the thatched roof.
I think you got me a little too high, Skipper.
Gilligan, come down from there this minute.
Look out below!
He drops onto the skipper's shoulders.
Oh,
he wraps his arms over the face of the skipper, who stumbles around toward a wall. They burst through it and fall. As they both sit up, the skipper glares at Gilligan, who gets up and runs off when he grabs a pole and chases. The professor watches through the hole, shaking his head. But later, a lever has been constructed.
Well, it's all set, folks.
The lever is under a hut wall and floor.
I just have to synchronize the winch to the axle, and we're ready to raise the huts.
Mr. Howell, do you really think you can put the three huts together?
Well, I don't know. It's not my kind of merger.
Oh, I do hope there'll be first-class accommodations. On the upper deck, of course.
It's too bad Charlton Heston isn't here. We could use a good old-fashioned miracle.
Well, gentlemen, I think we're ready. Skipper, you're the strongest. Good luck.
Good luck, Skipper.
The skipper steps to the crank of the winch and takes hold with both hands. He starts to turn it. The hut lifts slightly.
It's working, Skipper. You're raising it.
Good show, Captain.
Come on, Skipper. We're all counting on you.
That's my big buddy.
With great effort, the skipper slowly turns the crank, lifting the hut a couple inches.
That's it, Skipper. It's high enough. All right now, folks. We're all going to have to work together.
Howell points to Levy and himself.
Everybody. All right now, folks. Easy does it. We have to reposition the hut so that we can attach it to the others.
They all step around the hut.
Right along that wall. That's it.
And line up along a side wall.
Now, here we go. Huh? Bring it to me.
They lift and push the hut.
A little more. A little more. Just a touch. That's it. We can let it down right here.
Let me do it, huh, Professor?
Gilligan, it has to be let down nice and easy.
You can depend on me.
He hurries to the locked crank. First, he touches the handle the skipper had used, then notices the lock lower down.
Okay, Gilligan.
The hut is over everyone's toes. Bending to the locking lever, he turns it, but it slips and the hut falls.
Gilligan!
Gilligan!
Gilligan's eyes bug out.
Gilligan!
Gilligan!
Later, with skies darkening and wind blowing the trees, lightning flashes over the huts lashed together. The waves get higher. Gilligan runs around the huts. As the lightning streaks from the sky, he carries hemp rope around the front of the huts. Inside, the other castaways have rope as well, though the Howells hesitate with theirs. As the professor tightens ropes around beams, Gilligan rushes in.
Here, Professor. I got the rope tied around that real good.
All right. Good work, Gilligan. Now help me tie it off.
Oh, yeah. Do it in a shank sheep.
A what?
Sheep. Shank.
Bushes blow outside, while Gilligan and the skipper help the professor secure the beams with rope. Roof panels wave above their heads.
Just in time. According to my calculations, that tidal wave will hit within minutes.
The waves rise further out at sea. The professor goes to Mrs. Howell.
Please, Mrs. Howell, we have to bind ourselves to these poles. When that tidal wave hit, these ropes will save your life.
Oh, I'm sorry, Professor, but they'll wrinkle my clothes. There must be another way.
Mrs. Howell, what is more important, saving your life or wrinkling your clothes? Well...
Just a moment, I'm thinking. Oh, all right.
She hands him the rope and holds her arms out to her sides. The professor starts tying her to a pole behind her. As Gilligan tries to tie himself, the skipper goes to Howell.
Hey, see, Mr. Howell, Mrs. Howell realizes how important this is. Now, let me help you.
Oh, no, a thousand times no. In this position, I couldn't possibly reach my wall.
He ties Howell to a post.
Hold still, please, Mr. Howell.
Or my credit cards.
See, skipper, I'm tying myself to the poles.
That's fine, little buddy, but we've got to see to the passenger's safety first. Now go help the girls.
Aye, aye, sir. Passengers first.
He hurries to Ginger against a wall.
Ginger, let me help you.
Thank you, okay. Gilligan.
He wraps rope around her hips and the pole behind her. He gets it around her waist, then finds himself at her chest and stops.
Stop, Gilligan. This is no time to be modest.
Well, I can't.
My life is at stake.
Yeah, but Ginger, you...
Just think of me as one of the boys.
Okay, boy.
He reaches the rope behind her, then over her bosom.
Oh, boy.
Now, make a knot.
He reaches down to the other end and puts the two ends together.
Remember, one of the boys.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Gilligan, help me now.
He goes to Marianne, who's tied up to her waist.
Any higher?
I know, let me help.
He wraps her rope behind her and around a pole. As lightning flashes outside, he gets to her chest.
Oh, yeah, we don't have much time. You tied Ginger.
She's just one of the boys.
Oh, well, think of me as your sister.
Sister? That's a good idea. Yeah.
He reaches behind her with his face at her bosom.
Oh, brother.
Marianne looks at him.
Nice work, little buddy. Now lash yourself to a pole.
Carefully securing the end on Marianne, he hurries off.
Now I know we're going to come through this just fine. We're all together in this hut. Our provisions are lashed down in the other huts. I won't kid you. It's not going to be easy, but we'll make it. All of us.
The skipper has tied himself to a pole.
Fifi! Fifi isn't here! Thurston, we forgot Fifi!
Fifi?
Oh, that poor little poodle. She'll never hear us over all this storm. Won't somebody please go get Fifi? Oh, Fifi! Here! Fifi! Fifi!
I'll go get her for you, Mrs. Howell.
Gilligan!
Gilligan goes outside, holding down his hat. The lightning is his only light as he searches the beach. Inside.
Thurston, do you think we'll find her in time?
I doubt it, my dear.
Oh, Thurston, how can you be so cruel? How can you say such a thing?
Lovely, because we didn't take Phoebe with us. Don't you remember? We left her at home, on the paper.
We did?
15 years ago.
Gilligan's out there, and I'm going after him.
Skipper, you'll never find him in that storm.
And he's right, little buddy. And nothing's gonna stop.
The skipper hurries past the tied professor into the pouring rain and driving wind, which blows him back inside. Gilligan keeps trudging through the sand. A tree branch falls right in front of him.
I better get back to the hut.
He turns back for the huts and walks against the wind. The skipper tries to leave again, but the wind blows him back inside. Another tree falls past Gilligan as he holds onto a tree trunk. The wind blows him off of it, but he gets his arms around another. As waves crash, he's blown off again into another. He makes his way forward, trying to look ahead. He gets blown between trees. With straight legs and arms, he walks hard to another tree and wraps his arms around it. The wind lifts his legs off the ground and gets him horizontal like a flag. He's able to keep his hat on his head as more waves start crashing. Torrents of water start flooding the island. Later, the complex of huts floats alone on the calm sea. Most of the thatched roofs and walls have gone, but the beams and floors are still intact. A small porch of one of the huts provides a sort of dock. Inside, the castaways are still tied to their poles, unconscious. Mr. Howell slowly wakes, rubbing his eyes. He squints up at the sky.
Ah, thank heavens the storm is over.
He loosens his ropes.
I think I'll take a look around and see if the island has suffered any damage.
Looking down, he opens doors and steps across the porch. He loses his balance and falls into the water.
Help! Help!
Mrs. Howell wakes up.
I'm too rich to drown.
Thurston, where are you?
Outside!
Somebody do something!
I'm coming, Mr. Howell!
The professor unties himself, runs out, and also falls into the water. He swims to Howell and gets a hold of him.
Oh, Mr. Howell, I should have warned you about that first step. It's a trifle damp.
The skipper steps out while Mrs. Howell gets untied and follows.
All right, here we go. Hey, give me your hand, Mr. Howell.
The skipper reaches down to him and pulls him up while the professor pushes.
Oh, darling, why didn't you swim?
Howell sits up on the edge.
I can't. Remember, Lovey? I had the butler take the swimming lessons for me.
Oh, Professor, you were right. We're at sea. We might even be in the shipping lanes. Maybe we can be rescued.
Maybe by a 6'4" marine.
You were so right, Professor. Lashing all the huts together did help us ride out the tidal wave.
Everyone is untied.
And we're all safe and sound. Gilligan! Gilligan! Gilligan?
The skipper straightens up.
Gilligan! Gilligan!
He rushes around the huts as the professor pulls himself out of the water.
Gilligan!
Howell gets to his feet.
Gilligan! Gilligan!
The professor stands.
Gilligan! He's not here!
If anything happened to Gilligan, it's all my fault.
You mustn't blame yourself, Lovey.
But I sent him out to look for Fifi. Who else could I blame?
Well, I don't know, but certainly not a Howell.
Oh, it's all my fault. I should have gone after my little buddy in the first place.
Oh, you tried, Skipper. You tried. I'll never forget how he tied me up and saved my life.
My little buddy.
That brave, brave boy.
Inside that skinny little lad was a heart the size of Fort Knox.
I'll never forget Gilligan. I think we should all take a few moments and remember him in our own way.
Everyone does, crestfallen. The skipper takes off his cap and smacks a post with it, then puts it back on. Through a little hole in a hut wall is a rope, which stretches out and down to the water, where it lays on the surface. It's attached to some leaves in a floating tree trunk, which Gilligan lies on, dozing. His arm drops in the water, waking him. He falls in. Looking up and splashing, he turns to find the huts floating.
Help! Help, Skipper!
Around the corner.
Why, I could hear my little buddy calling my name just like he was still here.
He's some distance away.
Help, Professor!
That's odd. Now I can hear him calling me.
That's nothing odd at all. It's their boy reaching out to us from the great beyond.
Help, Ginger! Marianne!
Ginger, do you believe in ghosts? No, but I believe Gilligan's haunting this hut.
Help! Mrs. Howell! Somebody!
Somebody? How informal.
That's Gilligan, and it sounds like it's just beyond that wall.
They all turn, and the skipper goes to it. He sticks his head through the wall and looks out. Gilligan waves.
Little buddy, Gilligan!
okay?
Oh,
okay. Oh,
okay.
Let's go.
Oh,
hurry.
The others go to the wall on one end of the huts.
He's hanging on to a palm tree attached to us by a rope.
The professor sticks his head through.
Gilligan! Gilligan!
He keeps waving.
Let's enlarge the hole and pull him in. Well, stand back, Professor. If my head made this little hole, I know how to make a great big one.
They pull their heads back in. The thatched panels of the wall are taken down.
All right, now, let's all pull together.
Everyone but the Howells takes the other end of Gilligan's rope. Holding on to his end and leaning on the tree, Gilligan nods. He lets go of the tree and takes the rope with both hands. A big yank pulls him quickly through the water as the pullers stumble backward through the huts. They fall out through the other end. Later, they all gather on the porch.
How'd you do it, little buddy? How'd you wind up in a palm tree?
I was out looking for Fifi. I was yelling, here, Fifi, here. Mrs. Howell, you didn't bring Fifi.
Oh, I forgot him, Gilligan. But the important thing is that you risked your life. And that was very gallant of you and should be rewarded. Thurston, buy him something. A Congressional Medal of Honor.
I'll do even better. Buy him Congress.
Well, we're all very proud of you, little buddy, but you haven't told us what happened.
Well, Skipper, what happened was I was out there looking for Fifi, yelling, Fifi, Fifi. This wind started coming really strong. Then the thunder, boom, the lightning, and then the rain was coming sideways and straight. And the wind was blowing so hard it bounced me from palm tree to palm tree.
He demonstrates with poles on the porch.
And then I remember Mrs. Howell didn't bring Fifi, so I started back with the huts and I looked up and I saw this giant wave as big as a mountain. So I looked around and I grabbed this rope, see? And I lashed myself to a palm tree like this.
He ties a rope around his waist.
And the wave was there and it came down and it was a big jerk.
A big jerk pulls him back in the water. And he's pulled away.
Shark!
He's pulled behind the gray pointed fin. He works to keep his head above water as the others watch. The shark keeps pulling the rope and Gilligan through the water. The others hurry to the other side to watch them go around. Gilligan keeps hanging on just behind the shark. Everyone keeps watching, dumbfounded. They go back to the porch side when the shark pulls Gilligan back around. Handing the professor his cap. The skipper jumps into the water after Gilligan, but only succeeds in getting pulled behind him and the shark. The remaining castaways go to the other side to watch them go around again. He's able to swim closer to Gilligan, but isn't really helping him. The others watch from the porch again.
I better help!
The professor jumps in as they go by. But he just gets pulled behind the skipper. The remaining four go back to the other side to watch the shark-powered train go by again. The professor works to keep his head above water. The others hurry again to the porch. The shark speeds past, pulling Gilligan, the skipper, and the professor.
Gad, this is no time to play follow the leader.
There's only one thing that can save them now, a girl.
A girl?
Oh, Ginger, you're not thinking of...
No, a girl shark. Look over there.
Ginger points at another fin.
But how do we know it's a girl shark?
The first shark gets closer to it. As everyone watches intently, the men are left behind.
The shark let go of the rope.
The fins go off side by side. The men swim back to the porch.
Captain, I am on, Captain.
So, yeah, comedy. If you'd never heard of Gilligan's Island before, I think you get the idea. But now there's no island. So what else will these people encounter before getting rescued? And will being rescued be all that great? By the way, I don't think I'm spoiling anything by saying they will be rescued, because, you know, title. But they do have some things to face once that happens, in part two of Rescue from Gilligan's Island, next time on Movies for the Blind. So if you do remember this show, you may be asking, what the heck happened to Ginger? In the series, Ginger was played by the lovely Tina Louise, but she had problems with the producers from the moment she signed on, and those problems didn't end after the series did. She had been an up-and-coming actress and felt the series blew her chance to do anything serious from there on in, and that feeling got worse when the series had its revival. So Tina Louise said no to coming back as Ginger, and her place was taken by Judith Baldwin, who, oddly, had appeared with her in the movie The Stepford Wives. To find out more about the movies, about description, and how to subscribe, go to the blog, moviesfortheblind.com, where you can also find out about this podcast's Creative Commons license. If you like the podcast, put it in writing by leaving a review on iTunes, looking up Movies for the Blind under Podcasts at the iTunes Store. You can also follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Make sure you're following updates on Facebook. And subscribe to us on YouTube, where we show you how it's done. The movies are still from the Internet Archive, so please support universal access to human knowledge by visiting and donating at archive.org. Thank you for downloading and for listening. Be back next week. Take care.